Today we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark.
今天我们会从福音书当中来看到耶稣的生命。
Thank my translator for correcting me. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 2, I believe.
请大家翻开约翰福音的第二章。
Yes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me.
请大家翻到之后就跟一起来看第二章的1到11节。
Today we're going to be looking at the first miracle of Jesus.
我们来看到耶稣所行的第一件神迹。
And we're going to see Jesus in the context of a wedding celebration.
我们在看这个婚宴的神迹当中, 耶稣所行神迹的时候当时有什么样的背景。
For myself, there's been about three different kinds of wedding receptions or wedding celebrations that I've attended over the years.
在这个年当中呢, 我参加了好几个婚宴。
This is like a typical American style reception.
这是一个很典型的美国式的婚宴, 以及婚宴之后的这样一个招待。
It's the kind of reception that I went to celebrating family members' weddings who happen to be Roman Catholic.
这个正好是跟罗马天主教有一些关系的。
And they tend to be fairly fancy receptions and a lot of good food and dancing and fun.
好像非常的时髦,
This is like my Catholic family's wedding.
就是像这个跟天主教有关的类似的这样一个婚宴。I've also
been to a lot of church weddings where it's basically a very small informal affair, maybe in a church fellowship hall.
我也去到其他一种类型的婚宴，就好像基督教的这样的婚宴。
And of course, one that you've probably been to a number of times, a Chinese wedding banquet.
同时你也可能也去经历过这个华人类型的这样的婚宴。
And what I've noticed over the years, there's been a lot of cross-pollination between the different kinds of styles.
在过去这一年呢，我也看到很多就是混合在一起的那种模式的婚宴。
And so years ago in the Chinese banquet, they never would have dancing.
在很多年以前，如果是华人式的婚宴，估计他们不会有跳舞之类的活动。
But now sometimes they do.
但是现在有时候他们有跳舞在里面。
And some couples will have a church reception after the wedding, and then another big celebration later on in the evening.
有时候他们是在这个就是教会聚会的时间有那样，有时候呢他们就在晚上。
And for those, you get two for the price of one.
有时候就是好像还有一些折扣。
And so today we're going to look at Jesus and what happened at a particular wedding that he went to in the region of Galilee. And I'll read in English and then Kunming can read in Chinese.
今天我们看到这个耶稣所参加的一个婚宴，然后 Pastor Tom 会读这个英文，我会读中文。
And so let's read this together in English. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." When Jesus did hear in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
我们一起读这个第三日 在加利利的迦拿有娶妻的宴席，耶稣的母亲在那里，耶稣和他的门徒也被请去赴席。酒用尽了，耶稣的母亲对他说，他们没有酒了。耶稣说，我与你有什么相干？我的时候还没有到。他母亲对佣人说，他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。照犹太人洁净的规矩，有六口石缸摆在那里，每口可以盛两三桶水。耶稣对佣人说，把缸盛满了水，他们就倒满了，直到缸口。耶稣又说，现在可以舀出来送给管筵席的，送去管筵席的，盛了那水尝遍的酒，并不知道是从哪里来的，只有舀水的人佣人知道。管筵席的便叫来新郎，对他说，人都是先摆上好酒，等客喝足了才摆上次的，你倒把好酒留到如今。这是耶稣所行的头一件神迹，是在加利利的迦拿行的，显出他的荣耀来，他的门徒就信了他。
The first thing that we see in this passage is a time to rejoice.
在这段经文当中，首先映入眼帘的是我们看到有一个欢庆的时刻。
I was in a Bible study group while I was in college.
当我读大学的时候呢，我在一个查经小组里面。
And we met in the fellowship area of a Lutheran church on campus.
我们在一个路德宗的校园当中，路德宗的一个教会里面聚会。
And several of us were studying the Bible and we were having a good time and we were, I think, having a lot of, funny incidents we were sharing, so we were laughing.
我们几个人在一起查经，我们一起在聊天，有时候碰到一些很有趣的话题的时候，我们就都笑了。
And then basically an angry Bible man came to our group and stood by us.
有一个人他就来到我们当中，站在我们旁边。
And he started lecturing us.
他来了就给我们讲课。
And he said, when you read God's word, you cannot laugh.
他就说你们读神的话语的时候不可以笑。
God's word is serious.
神的话是非常严肃的。
And so you're sinning against the Holy Spirit by having a good time around the word.
所以你们在这里又笑，实际上是亵渎圣灵。
And so we were kind of shocked.
所以我们就非常的震惊。
And didn't really know what to say. Thank you for your opinion, your warning.
我们实在不知道说什么，难道我要跟他说谢谢你警告我吗？
And then I think we began to have a discussion after he left over whether it was appropriate to have a good time in Bible study.
所以等他走了之后，我们就继续讨论，我们学圣经的时候究竟可不可以很喜乐。
And I think that our leader helped to explain to us that yes, even Jesus had a good time.
所以我们当时查经的小组的这位弟兄呢就告诉我们说，嘿，耶稣自己都有那样欢庆的时刻。
And of course we weren't laughing at the word of God.
当然我们不是在取笑神的话，我们只是欢庆。
But probably some strange circumstances that we were discussing about the principle learned.
所以有时候我们就是在这个圣经的原则当中在学习的时候。
And so I think that we see it during this wedding a time to rejoice and a time where Jesus had fun and was enjoying himself.
在这个我们也看到在这个婚宴当中耶稣他自己也在欢庆。
And we see here that there was a wedding that Jesus was attending along with his mother and his disciples.
我们在这里看到呢，也是他的门徒和他的母亲都被邀参加婚宴。
Jesus had only very recently begun to gather the various his disciples to follow him.
在此之前，他刚刚就是呼召了他的一些门徒来跟随他。
And so we see the calling of the disciples in chapter 1.
所以我们在第一章的时候看到他呼召门徒。
And though they had decided to become a disciple of Jesus and to follow him, I still think they didn't have quite an idea of who they were following or who Jesus was.
虽然他们已经做出决定来跟随耶稣，但是那个时候他们对耶稣的认识还不是很全面。
But they would get a much better idea as they would spend time with him and even learn more about who Jesus was through this incident that happened at this wedding.
跟他们越来越多做事情的时候呢，就越来越认识耶稣，甚至在这个参加婚宴的时候，他们也越来越认识耶稣。
And so I think one of the lessons that they learn, and I hopefully that we can learn, is that God's grace is extravagant.
这些门徒在认识耶稣的过程当中，学到一些功课，也是希望我们今天也来学到的功课，就是神的慈爱和怜悯非常的广大。
And that we should respond to his gracious acts by faith, in faith, and with humility.
我们在神的慈爱和怜悯的面前，我们应该有正常的回应，就是谦卑而喜乐的回应。
And so, we'll explore the passage and try to apply some of these truths to our lives.
所以我们今天再继续的看，从这里面看到哪些真理可以用到我们的生命当中。
But going back to the wedding, we see that the wedding was in a place called Cana.
所以我们再来看这个婚宴的时候，我们发现婚宴是在迦拿这个地方发生的。
And Cana was in northern Israel.
是在以色列的北部。
It was a little bit north of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up with his family.
是在拿撒路北边一点点，拿撒路是耶稣成长的地方。
And a little bit south of Capernaum, which is the place where Jesus basically lived during much of his ministry.
是在加百农的稍微南边一点点加百农那个地方呢是耶稣主要行事的就是施工的地方。
And so since this was the place that the region where Jesus lived, it's very likely that he knew and his family knew the family of either or maybe both of the bride and the groom.
因为这个地方呢是耶稣非常熟悉也是他成长的地方所以极有可能当时婚宴的两边亲戚都是彼此非常认识的。
And so Jesus went along with his disciples to have this celebration.
所以耶稣就和他的门徒一起到婚宴当中来庆祝。
And actually weddings in ancient Israel had a little bit different of a format than we would normally have today.
实际上在古代以色列他们婚宴的一些的传统跟我们今天所看到的是很不一样的。
And that makes sense because wedding traditions and celebrations do vary by culture and people.
是因为在不同的文化不同的人群当中这些婚宴的传统都不一样所以他们不一样是非常可以接受的。
There's actually a lot written about Jewish weddings.Ancient Jewish weddings.
其实在这方面有很多的著作向大家介绍这个婚宴的传统。
But I've kind of consolidated it and giving you a short format.
所以我把它就是总结一下一个提纲挈领的给大家看一些大纲。
But the first thing that would happen in preparing for a wedding would be that the marriage would be arranged.
最开始第一步就是说要筹划这样一个婚宴。
So parents had to keep an eye out for their kids from a very young age. You know, they might have even thought when their kids are 7, 8, 9 years old, oh, who can I set my son or daughter up with?
所以在他们很小的时候，也许就甚至像指腹为婚那样的，就是等他们长大，8岁、9岁的时候，可能都开始思考谁可以成为我们家的儿媳妇，谁可以成为女婿。
But at some point, a decision would be made, and the families, and particularly, in particular, the father of the bride and groom would get together.
所以呢，到了一定的年纪，他们就开始把这个定下来，特别是就结婚两方的父亲就开始定下来。
And it's likely that the couple would actually get to meet before the marriage was negotiated.
在他们谈论这个事情的时候可能那两方都还没有机会见面
maybe not a long meeting but at least they got a chance to see each other
后来他们有机会见面的时候也许也不是很长但是至少他们有机会就是彼此认识一下
and then the parents would begin to negotiate for a bridal price
然后两边的家长呢就会谈论这个婚姻的这个价钱
This is kind of foreign to our modern ears, but in those days, women, the young women of the family were considered assets.
所以这个对我们现代人来讲呢，好像是 那是就是异国的情调，但是呢，在当时来讲呢，这个新娘事实上是被认为家中的一个宝。
They did a lot of work around the house or the farm, and to lose such a valuable member, then they wanted some compensation.
他们在家里面实际上是很主要的劳动力，他们做很多的事情，现在结婚了要出嫁走了，所以呢，他们需要一个补偿。
And so this negotiation would happen, and then once there was an agreement, I don't know, maybe they would give some kind of valuables or livestock or whatever.
所以他们就开始商讨这个价钱，以至于大家都同意在这个嫁妆啊，在这些价钱上面都形成一个协议。
And then a contract would be basically signed.
这个协议呢也会需要签名的。
And from there, the groom would give the bride some type of a pledge of value.
这个时候呢，就是新郎官应该给新娘一点就是像信物一样的东西。
And so in modern times, that pledge would be like an engagement ring.
如果是我们现在的语言来讲的话，就是一个订婚的戒指。
But maybe back then it was a goat.
那个时候呢，可能是 goat.
A goat.
Goat, 这个是羊。
And then the woman would actually undergo a purification ritual.
然后这个新娘呢就会经历到一段自我洁净的时期。
Where she would be cleansed, and it would be a notation of her leaving her old life and seeking now a new life with her husband.
所以她就会预备自己的时期，就是她过去的行事的方法。现在就是需要重新的适应这个成为新娘之后的行事方法。
And so this is actually the first of many parallels that we see with the teachings of Jesus, and this parallel would be that of baptism.
这就是有点在耶稣的教导当中，这是我们看到的很多彼此平行的当中的其中一个。这个呢就他这个洁净礼呢就跟后来所行的这个洗礼的有类似之处。
After the meeting of the families, the groom would then tell the bride, I go and prepare a place for you.
两边的家长见面协商好了之后，这个新郎就会跟新娘讲，就是说我会去预备这一切的事情来迎娶你。
And this should be familiar because Jesus has told us that he goes and prepares a place for us.
这个也是跟耶稣跟我们所讲的话是非常类似的，因为耶稣说我去是为你们预备住处去的。
And we, the church, are his bride.
我们整个教会呢就是耶稣的新娘。
So this basically means the groom goes out and finds a house or an apartment or whatever they had, and he would begin to prepare it for his bride and family, his new family.
所以新郎呢就会去预备他的住处，无论是去租一个公寓还是盖房子还是怎样，他去预备住处来迎娶新娘。
For the engaged woman, she would now put a veil over her face.
对这个已经订了婚的这样一个新娘的话，她就会弄一个面纱在自己的脸上。
And this would signify to the rest of her neighbors and friends and family that she is now set apart.
这是一个信号传递出来给她自己的邻居和她的家人和朋友，就是说我已经订婚了。
And has a husband to be or a fiancé that has bought her with a price.
然后就等着她的未婚夫会来迎娶他，就是拿了协商好的价钱来迎娶他。
Again, a parallel of what Jesus has done for us.
也同时也是耶稣也是非常类似，耶稣把他自比新就是新郎，然后我们教会是新娘的这样一个比喻。
Once the father and the son decide that the house is now ready to be lived in.
当这个新郎的父亲和新郎自己他们已经决定说我们已经预备好了。
The groom would gather his friends,
这个新郎就会把他的朋友们都叫过来。
And they would go in the evening as nightfall, and they would go to the bride's house, with their oil lamps.
他们就会弄那个油灯过去准备迎娶新娘。
And then they would meet friends of the bride who also had oil lamps, as they would then have a procession from the house of the bride to the house of the father of the groom.
这个都是在晚上发生的事情，然后这个新娘那边也有朋友，他们也都拿着油灯，然后他们就一起 到新郎那边去。
And so as the groom would be arriving to the bride's house, they would blow off a ram's horn, a shofar, and they would shout, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him."
当他们将近临近到这个新娘那边的时候呢，他们会一起欢呼庆祝，说这个是新郎要来了。
And so this is actually the point where the marriage takes place.
这实际上是真正的婚宴开始的地方。
And the groom takes the bride to the father's house for 7 days.
这个新郎呢就会把新娘带到自己的家中，自己父母的家中，然后有7天的时间。
And so basically the honeymoon begins immediately.
所以那个蜜月期就很快就开始。
And following the 7 day of honeymoon, at the end of it, the bride and groom come out of the house, the bride removes the veil.
在七天的蜜月期结束之后，这个新娘就会出来，就把她面上的这个面纱会拿掉。
And they begin a wedding celebration of food, music, and dance.
这个时候他们就有拿出食物、音乐跟各种各样的东西就来庆祝。
And it's interesting to note that this celebration lasts 7 days.
是很有趣，这个庆祝就要持续七天。
Can you imagine a 7-day wedding celebration?
你可以想象一下吗？我们今天如果有婚宴要七天的话。
I think 1 day is usually enough, but they had a lot of fun back then.
但是今天我们看到好像一天就够了，但是那个时候呢，他们七天当中他们有很多欢庆的时间要走。
And so while Jesus then is with his family during this time, at the ceremony or at the celebration,
所以耶稣在这个当中，在这个欢庆的时候，就跟他的门徒们在一起。
There was an impending crisis.
这个时候呢，发生了一件事情，危机来临了。
And it's probably the thing that brides to be worry about maybe the most, maybe not the most, but they do worry about it.
但是那个时候他们真的非常担心，当这件事情来临的时候。
And so I found on the internet this, it's not a very big sample, but it's a survey of brides or future brides, past brides on this bridal site, and if there's ever been a time where you've been to a reception and you've run out of food.
所以我在这个网络上查了一下，然后这里有一些的调查，就是说你去参加这些婚宴的时候，有什么样的状况让你发生这个婚宴的食物或者是其他东西不够用。
And the good thing is, for the most part, there's always enough food.
就是我看到很多的情况下，那个食物总是足够的。
Sometimes you run out of particular dishes, maybe.
有时候你可能某一道菜没有了。
But in only 6% of this survey, I think it's 6%, did all of the food run out before everyone could get something.
在这个网络调查当中，只有很少的状况，这6%的情况下，好像真的是东西用完了。
I was actually at a reception once that it was a church reception, and they ran out of drinks.
在这个我所参加的一个婚宴当中，在一个教会的婚宴当中，那个时候呢，酒用完了。
And so at a,
这个饮料用完了。
And so as a pastor, I've been to lots and lots of weddings.
对，作为牧师，我已经参加过很多很多的婚礼了。
But I do remember that one because of what it lacked.
我记得那一次，因为那次饮料用完了。
But I think in American culture, it's not that bad.
我想在美国的这个文化其实也并不是那么坏。
And so they were able to get pitchers of water and, you know, people could still have something to drink with their food.
所以很快他们就弄了一些水过来，所以大家至少有水可以喝。
But in an ancient Near Eastern culture, to run out of wine, now that was a big deal.
但是在古代以色列，如果你酒用完的话，那是非常严重的一件事情。
And this would have likely brought a lot of shame and maybe ridicule to their family.
你会觉得非常的羞愧，然后其他人也会取笑你。
And so Jesus' mother was there, and she points out this fact, this crisis that has just happened. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, to Jesus, they have no more wine.
耶稣的母亲呢，就那个时候就指出了这件事情来，就告诉他说他们没有酒了。
Now we don't quite know why Jesus' mother is a depiction of Mary from a movie. Why Mary knew there was no wine.
我们也不知道为什么玛利亚会知道这件事情没有酒了。
Maybe she was in line to get some and it ran out.
有可能她正好排队然后拿正好没有了。
Or maybe she knew some of the workers behind the scene and they told her what was going on.
或者她知道那后面的佣人那些佣人告诉她没有酒了。
But whatever the case, she knew there was no wine and then she went to Jesus to have him solve this problem.
无论是怎么样的状况反正她就知道了。她知道了之后就告诉耶稣并且让耶稣来解决这个问题。
And so Jesus gives an interesting response. He says, Woman, why do you involve me?
所以耶稣呢的回答也非常的有趣。他说母亲我与你有什么相干
My hour has not yet come.
我的时候没有到。
And so there's a lot of interesting reading about this reply of Jesus to his mother.
耶稣对他母亲的回答有很多人有非常有趣的一些解释。
Especially revolving around the word woman.
特别是他所称呼的这个词，这个称呼，这个称呼呢，有的版本说母亲，有的版本是说妇人。
Because in English, anyway, it has a very harsh sound.
如果你读英语或者是读汉语的话，称一个人是妇人啊，听起来好像不是很有礼貌。
I can't imagine a child going to their mother and saying, "Woman, this is what I want."
你很难想象一个小孩走到自己妈妈面前说，妇人，我想要这个。
But actually, when you look at the Greek, the word being used is a neutral term.
但是当你回到原来的文字当中，就是希腊文当中，你就会发现这个词它当时所用的是一个中性的词。
And though it's not a term of endearment, it's not very harsh.
说它是中性的词，就是说它不是褒义的，也不是贬义的。
And then he says, which actually makes sense, why do you involve me?
对，所以后来他说，那为什么这跟我有什么相干？
It's like Jesus is probably thinking what I would think. Well, I'm the guest here.
耶稣可能在想，哎，我是被邀请来的客人啊。
What do you want me to do about it?
那作为客人，你要我参加什么呢？
And then he says, "My hour has not yet come."
他说我的时候还没有到。
I think she was totally confused at this point. What's going on?
我觉得耶稣的母亲在这个时候听到这个话，她可能觉得非常的混淆，非常的就困惑。
And so for the disciples and for us even now, we can look at that phrase and we know that Jesus' hour would come one day on the cross.
当我们后面的人，后面的信徒来读圣经的时候，我们知道耶稣所指的说我的时候还没有到，可能是指到他上十字架受死的那个时候还没有到。但是当时的人怎么会知道呢？
But Mary had no idea.
但是玛利亚不知道。
But nonetheless, she replies, "Do whatever he tells you."
玛利亚还是回答说，他吩咐什么，对他的佣人说，他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。
And so I think she had some expectation that Jesus would do something.
所以我觉得他对耶稣还是有一些的期待值，希望他会做些事情。
We don't know what her expectation was.
我们不知道他有所期待的究竟是什么。
But she knew in her heart that Jesus could do something.
但她从心里面相信耶稣能够做一些事情。
And so Jesus did do something which resolved the crisis.
耶稣确实做了一些事情，在这个危机当中化险为夷。
And so here we see Jesus, and he is continuing then the narrative, and he tells those nearby to take 6 stone water jars.
所以耶稣确实做了一些事情。他做了什么呢？在圣经里面记载说，
And these are pretty big jars.
说有6口石缸摆在那里，让对耶稣对佣人说，把缸倒满了水。
Holding from 20 to 30 gallons.
这个缸是非常大的，每一口可以盛2-3桶水。
And so the servants did as was instructed. They filled the jars with water to the brim.
所以佣人就遵照他所说的就做了，就把那个水都倒满了缸，直到缸口。
And then he told them to draw some of the water out and give it to the master of the banquet.
耶稣又说现在可以舀出来送给管筵席的。
And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine.
他们就送去，然后那个管筵席的长了的水变的酒。
He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew.
并不知道是从哪里来的，只有舀水的佣人知道。
And then the master of the banquet goes to the bridegroom and he says, everyone brings out choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you've saved the best for now.
管筵席的便叫新郎来，对他说，人都是先摆上好酒，等客喝足了才摆上次的，你倒把好酒留到如今。
And so we don't really know if the groom at this point even knew that they had run out of wine. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Sometimes when you're part of the wedding, you don't always know what's going on. But he probably would have been a bit surprised to know that he was now serving the best wine.
那我们都不知道他知不知道那个酒用完了。但是呢，你在那个婚宴当中的时候，事情那么忙，有时候一些细节你根本就不知道。但是呢，我们知道这里有一件事情他是了解的，就是这个酒啊是好的，留在后面。
And so when we actually do some calculations, these are kind of depictions of maybe the type of container that the servants used.
我们可以对这些容器啊，这些它的容量啊，这些做一些简单的计算。
And how much wine was actually was turned into wine, or water turned into wine?
究竟有多少水变成了酒？
I kind of like this depiction, water becoming wine. That would really be interesting at a restaurant.
如果在餐馆当中，你说水可以变成酒的话，这是一个很令人感兴趣的事情。
So I did a little calculation and I put it up here.
我做了一点点计算。
I may need someone to check my math, but
有人要跟我检查一下我的数学。
It's between 20 and 30 gallons, so I rounded it in the middle. 25 gallon jars, the average equals 150 gallons of wine.
所以差不多是二三十桶，所以我就给他一个概述，就是25加仑，然后就这样计算下来。
And then through the miracle of Google search, I found out that a current bottle of wine is 750 mLs, or 1/5 of a gallon.
所以在神奇的谷歌面前，我做了一下计算，就发现这个下面的是750毫升，或者是五分之一个加仑。
So in effect, Jesus, in modern day standards,made 750 bottles of wine for the party.
所以用我们现在的语言来讲，耶稣当时呢就做了750瓶葡萄酒。
And I really like the footnote which says that 700 bottles of wine requires a ton of grapes.
再还有一个注解说，如果你要做这么多葡萄酒的话，你需要一吨的每一吨的葡萄需要这么多。
This particular wine shelf probably has about 250 bottles of wine, so just multiply this by 3, and that's about how much wine Jesus made.
您所看到的这个酒店，这里大概有250瓶，所以你把这个乘以3倍，就是差不多是那么多耶稣所做的葡萄酒。
Jesus didn't tell anyone what he had done.
耶稣没有告诉其他人他究竟做了什么。
But I'm sure that if he did, he would have been the most popular man at the party.
他如果真的是告诉别人的话，那也许在这个婚宴当中他是大家最受欢迎的人了。
I like how the commentator writes, in response to a humble request, Jesus provides wine in abundance, over 100 gallons. Here is a free, full, extravagant outpouring, and it is precisely the Son of God's gratuitous, gracious generosity that is the glory revealed in the sign.
我很喜欢这个评论家这样的评论。他说对于面对这样的一个请求，耶稣的恩典真的是又是免费的，又是白白的，然后是非常一掷千金的，毫不吝啬的给出这样他的恩典。
And I think this is what we really see from this passage, an extravagant outpouring of God's grace through Jesus.
这真的是神的一掷千金的恩典，透过主耶稣基督向我们流淌出来。
And so how should we respond?
所以对我们来讲，我们怎么样去回应呢？
Well, I would suggest we respond in humble faith to God's extravagant grace.
所以面对神一掷千金的恩典，我建议大家就是有一个谦卑的心来领受。
And we see this through several of the sentences in the passage.
我们在 这个几句或经文当中可以看到。
So Jesus' mother said, do whatever he tells you.
耶稣的母亲对他们说，他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。
And I think this is a posture of humility by Mary.
这个从玛利亚的身上就显露出她的谦卑。
And just as she submitted to the promptings and leading of God when the angel came to her,
她把自己完全顺服在神的面前，就当神的一个天使向她显现的时候。
So now she is waiting in humble expectation at what Jesus may do.
所以她就非常谦卑的期待，并且也顺服，也吩咐她的佣人去顺服，耶稣吩咐他们做什么，他们就做什么。
I think we can also be experience humility in knowing that God's grace is occurring regularly and often unseen in our lives.
同时我们也意识到我们应该谦卑，是因为我们注意到神的恩典是无时不在的，常常在我们身边，有时候甚至我们都没有注意。
And so the master of the banquet did not know where the wine came from.
这个管筵席的人根本就不知道酒从哪里来。
And I don't think the guests nor the bride or the groom or their families knew either.
而且我想当时的那些客人啊，那些新郎新娘，可能很多其他人压根就不知道。
But nonetheless, this whole group gathering the celebration were experiencing in the grace of God.
即便他们不知道神的恩典，但是他们却在经历到神给他们的恩典。
And in what Jesus had provided.
耶稣透过这个酒所给他们带来的。
And I think that when we think about our lives, there's probably many things that are occurring that we don't even realize, but nonetheless, they are God's grace being poured out.
也许在我们每个人的生命当中都有这样的经历，就是我们完全不知道恩典从哪里来，但是我们却在经历着神的恩典。
And that should lead in us a posture of humble adoration towards God and His goodness.
所以这个更加能够让我们谦卑下来。
And finally, we see how the disciples responded.
同时我们也看一看耶稣的门徒是怎么样回应的。
It says his disciples believed in him.
这里说显出耶稣的荣耀来，耶稣的门徒就信他了。
And of course, they had already begun to follow Jesus.
当然他们其实早就已经信他，跟随他了。
But I think once they saw this miracle,
当他们看到这个神迹的时候，
It's really solidified in their hearts and their lives a faith, a newfound faith in Christ.
他们在对神的新的信仰、新的认识当中，就又有了一个层次的进步。
And so over time, I think this faith would grow, but this was a pivotal time in their following of Jesus.
在对耶稣的信心的成长当中，这个对他们是非常的关键的一点。
And so, as we seek to worship and follow and walk with God this week,
所以当我们这一周来学习顺服神的时候，
may we respond in humble faith to God's extravagant grace.
希望我们可以在神一掷千金的恩典下面有一个谦卑的回应，
realizing that the grace that He has given is a gift.
就是意识到他所给我们的恩典是白白的，是白白的礼物。
The wine that Jesus provided at the party was a gift.
油水变成了酒，对那个婚宴来讲是一个白白的礼物。
It was not deserved, but yet it was enjoyed by those in the party.
那个不是谁赚取的，但是呢，大家就在这个白白的礼物面前欢庆。
And may we seek.To remember that gift of grace that God gives us not only in salvation, but how He works in all of our lives, all aspects of our lives.
所以请让我们大家记得，神给我们的恩典也是白白的，不光是救恩这个恩典，而且是在我们生命当中每一天带领我们的恩典，这都是白白的。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and grace.
我们感谢你，天父啊，你的善良和慈爱。
And we thank you that in this miracle, you have poured out extravagantly to those guests.
在这个婚宴当中，你把你的恩典一掷千金的赐给当时婚宴的人。
And Lord, we thank you for your extravagant grace in providing our salvation.
我们也 谢谢你给我们这么大的恩典，也和谢谢你给我们的救恩。
But also in the life that we seek to live through your Spirit.
而且我们生活当中的每一个层面都有你的恩典。
And so we thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' name.
所以我们谢谢你，我们愿你自己得了荣耀。我们是奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.